Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that's a divisive subject. I admit that. It's a subject that I believe deserves deep diving into the Scripture and make a determination what does the Scripture say and not what the cultural norms may say, not what the woke culture may demand, and not what someone might say, but what God's Word says. We're talking about the role of women in ministry, the role of women in church today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Perhaps you have a question that we could answer and clarify your position on it. Perhaps you've been seeking an answer to that. Now listen very carefully. We're not in any way trying to denigrate or to destroy the joy, the happiness, and the opportunity that women have in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the point at all. I had a caller a moment ago asked the question about women going into prisons and teaching women in prison. Wonderful opportunity for ministry. Wonderful opportunity to express gifts, talents, and abilities. But the argument today is that women are just as talented as men. Women can get a theological education just like men. Therefore, the woman is qualified to preach and to be an ordained deacon, a pastor or deacon, just like men. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a half-truth. Yes, women are educated. Women are intelligent. Women have gifts, talents, and abilities just as men. But we're overlooking the fact that God's Word sets forth what He requires for the office of pastor. Dr. Phelps, what are your thoughts on that?
I was just thinking that Christianity, the fellowship of churches today, we call the churches of Christ, like no other religion, elevate the position of women in society.
Yes.
And so we're so thankful for that. We place women in a very special place today, just as Paul does in the book of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
And women are so precious and so needful in the work of the ministry. And so I'm so thankful for that. But what Paul is emphasizing in the Scriptures is headship,
mm-hmm.
Order, and authority in the church when he says that men are to have the place of leadership in the pulpit today.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at a little brief statement in an article that I read on that. It said, the divide over women serving in the pastorate served as a signal of a deeper divide over the authority and interpretation of the Scripture. Simply put, the only way to affirm women serving in the pastoral role is to reject the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. I don't know if I could have said it any better.
That's, right.
That's pretty clear.
That's
ladies and gentlemen, I was just before the news break, we're talking about Rick Warren. Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church in California, has been removed from the Southern Baptist Convention because of ordaining women as pastors. And Rick Warren used three arguments, three biblical texts, three scriptural references as his argument for women pastors. The first one we discussed was Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Great Commission. Every Christian has the responsibility of telling others about Jesus. It's what we call soul winning. It's what we call shoe leather evangelism. It's what we talk about going into the highways and hedges and teaching them what the Scripture says, leading them to faith in Christ. Has nothing to do with that aspect, has nothing to do with, not that it's disconnected from it, but it has nothing to do with the office of pastor or the office of deacon. Then he used the Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, where Rick Warren said that on the day of the day of Pentecost, men and women were gathered together in the upper room. And then he goes on to talk about when the speaking in dialectos, languages, and preaching the gospel, that men and women did so. That's not true at all. It was simply the disciples that was teaching, and others heard them in their own language, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about the fact, and reading the verses about the old men seeing visions and dreaming dreams and prophesying, etc. And ladies and gentlemen, Peter, in preaching that great message at Pentecost, where 3,000 people got saved, Peter was quoting from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 in specificity. But when you look at the book of Joel, it's talking about what takes place during the days of the tribulation. It's speaking to the nation of Israel, and it's talking about then what will take place. And in that text, the whole unit of thought continues. Not just saying, it shall come to pass in the last days that God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days, talking about the last days, it's the days of the tribulation, the last of the tribulation, of my spirit on those that shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's talking about the Jewish people. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Peter said. So, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Warren has taken that text, unit of thought, he's bifurcating it, taking one or two verses and a thought out of it, and he says then that that would include men and women prophesying, preaching, and teaching, and it does not do that at all, ladies and gentlemen. The third text that Rick Warren uses is John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. This is when Jesus Christ had risen from the grave, and after the resurrection, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and Jesus told her to go tell the men. Dr. Phelps, read those verses, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18.
But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at his feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her.
Dr. Phelps, in that text, Jesus gives Mary Magdalene the charge, the responsibility to go and tell his disciples that he had risen. Now, Rick Warren says, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Warren says that after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to Mary, and Jesus told her to tell the men, that's the disciples, that he had risen. And according to Rick Warren, it's Jesus' charge for women to preach. That's a big, big jump. That's a stretch, Dr. Phelps. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody to twist the scripture any greater than that. But listen, if Rick Warren can embrace the LGBTQ sodomite community, and he does, if Rick Warren cannot preach against the sin of homosexuality, and he doesn't, if Rick Warren can allow an Islamic jihadist to come and stand in his pulpit and have the Islamic call to prayer before Allah in his church, what else can we expect? It is the orderly markings of a false teacher, and that's what I openly, clearly, definitively say of Rick Warren. He has coined the term Chrislam. He says that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. So anybody that's that twisted in understanding the scripture, anybody that's that anxious to market and to lock arms with and embrace culture in order to have popularity, position, power, and prestige, then there's a problem with his understanding of scripture. According to Rick Warren in his eisegesis, not exegesis, of the scripture, he concludes that God has gifted women to preach just as he's gifted men to preach, and therefore a woman ought not to be denied the opportunity to be a pastor and to preach. Dr. Phelps, how do you respond to that philosophy?
That philosophy is not based upon the scriptures. We have very definite scriptures that we can refer to in Paul's letter to Timothy and to Titus. Those were his fellow workers in the gospel ministry.
In fact, Dr. Phelps, is this correct? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are referred to as the pastoral epistles because it talks about the responsibility and who is to be a pastor and the responsibility of a pastor and the duties of a pastor and the qualifications for a pastor.
Exactly.
All found in the pastoral epistles. And yet, that is overlooked by Rick Warren, apparently. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, can a woman be a pastor? Women will say, God called me to preach, and so there's nothing wrong with it. No, he did not call you to clearly violate the scriptures. But wait a minute. God uses Christian women. Listen, I've said this in a little different fashion earlier on the broadcast. A Christian woman can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at all of the Gospels, and you will find a team of women that will follow Jesus, minister to Jesus, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, looking at Mark chapter 15, you'll find that when Jesus Christ was crucified, a group of women stood afar off and watched as Jesus Christ was crucified, as he died on the cross, as he was buried. They watched as the stone was rolled into place. They watched as the seal was placed on the stone to prevent Jesus from getting out. And on the first day of the week, the first Easter sunrise service, these same women came back to the tomb with the desire to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing love and adoration for him as Savior and as Lord. They ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, a woman can serve as a Sunday school teacher. A woman can, Christian woman can serve as a missionary. A Christian woman can serve as a counselor to other women. A Christian woman can serve as they teach younger women. In fact, their responsibility is to do so, according to Titus chapter 2. I'll read a verse or two of that. Titus chapter 2, that the aged women may be sober, that is, to be cautious, to be careful in their thinking. Grave, that means serious. In temperance, sound in faith, charity, and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they might teach the younger women to be sober, that is, to have self-control and serious-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers of their home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed or made fun of or ridiculed, if you will. But some will contend that Phoebe was a deaconess. Phoebe was a deaconess. The word deaconess is diakonos. That simply translated means servant. When the scripture talks about Phoebe being a diakonos, a deaconess, it does not say anything about the office of deacon, but the ministry of a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not mean an office. The New Testament church has two offices, I said earlier. That is the office of deacon and the office of pastor. We have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. So we've talked about, ladies and gentlemen, what I call the argument for women pastors. I want us to look at, in these last minutes of this broadcast, I want us to look at the arguments against women pastors. The arguments against women pastors. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Hello? We lost our caller. The argument against women pastors. Number one, the qualifications for pastor. Dr. Phelps, read for us, if you would, please, 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And I want, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear the pronouns he and him as it describes the qualifications for a pastor. Read those verses for us, Dr. Phelps.
This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Or if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience.
Notice, Dr. Phelps, this is a true saying, if a man... It's talking about the gender. If a man desire the office of a bishop, it goes on to talk about the husband of one wife. Now, perhaps this is a tricky question today in today's culture with the sodomite lifestyle and the LGBTQ and the transgenderism and all of those immoral, ungodly things that's being promulgated, pushed, pressed, and paid for by taxpayers' money coming out of the Oval Office. But the scripture says it must be the husband of one wife. So I've simply said down through the years, Dr. Phelps, if a woman can be the husband of one wife, then okay, you can be a pastor. I've had to modify that because of what's happening in society today with the transgenderism. But ladies and gentlemen, God created two sexes, male and female. He didn't create a he and a shim. He didn't create Sally and Susie. He created Adam and Eve. And the scripture is very, very clear. The qualification for a pastor is that he must be the husband of one wife. He must rule his own household well. We see the he and the him all the way through the descriptions, the discussions about a pastor. And Dr. Phelps, not only we see the qualifications of a pastor, but the question of submission. Turn in your Bible, if you would, Dr. Phelps, and read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is a text that brings about consternation, confusion, and challenge by so many today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
What does that teach us, Dr. Phelps? I'll let you explain it to our listeners.
One of the things I find in the scriptures is that the woman is supposed to be a listener during the preaching time.
Mm-hmm.
A woman is to learn in silence. She is not to be the speaker during the preaching time. But it says with all subjection. She knows her position in subjection to her husband. And then he says, I suffer. That word suffer in our Bible, in our King James Bible, means do not allow a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And so I believe that means the woman is not to take over, or not to have unbiblical authority to herself.
Yes. In fact, the whole question of female pastors, female deacons, should go back to what the Bible says in relationship to the service. In fact, in that 1 Timothy 3 text that Dr. Phelps just read about the qualifications and the responsibilities of a pastor, the next few verses talks about the qualifications and responsibility of a deacon. And it starts out with the term likewise, likewise. And it's meaning the same qualifications and characteristics. Women should not preach. That is, preaching the office is reserved for men. One must not confuse this function with witnessing or sharing the gospel. To take a platform today as a preacher at a church conference or in a mixed audience or at a church setting or a church service today is in clear violation of the authority over men. The scripture is very, very clear, as I understand it, Dr. Phelps, that in this text, it's talking about in a preaching service, it's talking about in a worship service, that it is clearly determined by God's word that a man has that responsibility. And if a woman is preaching the gospel to a mixed audience, she is usurping, taking authority, ruling over the man. So it's not a matter of women having gifts and talents and abilities. It's a matter of the office. We need to narrow it down with the specificity of the office of a pastor. Qualifications of pastor, talking about the office. It's a he, it's a male. The question of submission. The Bible says that a woman is to be in submission to her own husband and is not to teach, that is to rule over or to take authority over the man. And then it's a question of confusion. Question of confusion. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, the Bible is very, very clear. It says that the woman in worship service is to be silent. Now, there's some that have taken that to the extreme, ladies and gentlemen. There's some that have said that a woman cannot be called on to pray in a worship service. That's not what it's talking about. Some say that a woman then, if that's the case, that a woman must go around and be silent. She cannot give testimony. She cannot teach Sunday school. That is not what the scripture is saying. Women can serve the Lord Jesus Christ in every area, in every category, except the ordained position of deacon and pastor that is clearly forbidden based on the scripture. Dr. Phelps, what else would you add to that?
I believe I wrote down these words that a woman is not to have unauthorized control over the man.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because of the principle of headship. In the Corinthians church, there was a lot of confusion, and one of those had to do with this principle of headship.
That's right.
The local church should recognize the headship of Christ over the body, the headship of the man over the woman. So the pastors have the headship over the flock,
mm-hmm.
and not a woman. So it's a matter of headship. And that's talked about also in Ephesians chapter 5. The woman is to be in subjection to her husband and not to be in the leadership position over her husband.
That's right. And again, it goes back to, we've had in church history many, 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 many women that served God honorably, successfully, and with great passion for the word on the mission field, but not as a pastor. We've had women even today that have done a wonderful job in teaching the word, expressing the word, counseling with women, counseling the truth of the doctrines of the scripture that need to be expressed and clearly understood by women. And especially with the older women then being able to teach and lead and guide and direct the younger women. There's nothing wrong with a woman, as the lady caller earlier asked about, a woman going into the jails and teaching women. That's a wonderful, wonderful, much needed area of ministry for women. The whole thing is, the bottom line, Dr. Phelps, is that a woman must be in the position of leadership to other women, but cannot usurp authority over the man and a worship service by preaching from the pulpit and teaching the gospel. Many times, in fact, let me just put this little parenthetical footnote. Back in the late 70s, in a liberal theological seminary, they were expressing the thoughts that women should be able to, if they've got the credentials, i.e., they've gone to Bible college, they've gotten a credential, either a bachelor's, master's, or a doctorate, why don't we go ahead and ordain them so that then they could use that as a tax-exempt factor, that they could get things exempt that pastors have as tax exemptions. So therefore, it was done, and the promulgation and the real rampant start of that within some of the mainline denominations was for tax-exemption purposes. But Dr. Phelps, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the scripture acknowledges and admonishes women in this manner. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wife. Clearly, women should aim to win their husbands without the word, within the word. Preaching is not for a woman, within the home even, of preaching and demanding, but by the lifestyle leading the husband to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, when using the list of qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, talks about the having one man, one woman kind of a husband, that is, having one wife. Multiple wives were then, polygamy was then proliferating. And it says just one wife, then goes on with the other qualifications. Ladies and gentlemen, succinctly put, in the closing words, a woman, ladies, women, can serve the Lord Jesus Christ in every capacity of ministry service except the pulpit ministry of preaching as a pastor or as serving as an ordained deacon. God ordained that men have that responsibility, and it's the headship relationship that God is talking about in all that's said in relationship to that subject. So I pray today that you have listened well, that you've understood what we've said, and it's been a blessing. Dr. Phelps, we've got about 5 seconds. What would you like to say in closing?
One of the things I would like to say is that we need to be scriptural in all of our decisions that we make concerning the local church so that God can bless it.
Amen.
And bless our ministry.
Amen. Well stated. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Young.